of our need for our works to be consistent with our faith. Especially in verses 12 and 13, it says, "So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy." So in plain words, you've got to show other people mercy if you're going to receive mercy, right? And mercy triumphs over judgment. In plain words, as we are merciful to others, then that frees us from the condemnation that our natural instinct towards selfishness would have. I also jotted down here from the same text, "Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works." If we have indeed genuine faith, our works will show the and verify the authenticity of that faith. And we cannot evaluate a person's faith, but we can evaluate their works, whether their works are consistent or not. And so it, by their deeds or by their works, you shall know them. One can't say, "I love the Lord," and then live for the devil. The truth will all come out in the judgment. What's the next question? Will we have free will in heaven? That answer is a short one. The answer is yes. And that's why God's working so hard to make sure that he takes the long way around, so that anyone who has questions or doubts, they will be answered before the final judgment, when all things are, the executive judgment, when punishment is brought out. Why? Because in the new world and in the new earth, he doesn't want sin to rise up a second time. But that doesn't mean that he removes our will. We will have an opportunity to see that he is just in his decisions, and we will choose to follow him. I don't know if that answers your question, but it's the best I can do right now. Go ahead. Okay, I wish the person that asked that question were here tonight, because exactly, as a matter of fact, you've made my point. I used the illustration of Cain and Hitler last time to illustrate the inequity of punishment that's presented in the popular concept of hell as currently taught. This, of course, is presuming that Cain and Hitler didn't repent before they died. That could alter my answer considerably. But I question very seriously that they did. At least Cain, more so, because the scripture indicates that he hadn't. In the grave, they await the second coming. They await the second resurrection at the end of the 1,000 years, at which time they will be consumed together. So in plain words, Cain has not been suffering longer than Hitler. He's been asleep in his grave. Hitler's asleep in his grave. And when they come up in the second resurrection, then they will receive their punishment at the same time. So that, as a matter of fact, that verifies the point I was trying to make, and that is there's nobody burning in hell right now, nor will they till the end of that second resurrection. So thanks for asking that question, because it reinforced the point I was trying to make. Okay. The definition of the soul, the breath of God, that's a question mark, is it the soul that returns to God? Let me put it this way. A lamp is a dead machine. It's just an assembly of different parts. And it's not until you add the electricity to that lamp that it becomes a light. Right? It's not a light until the electricity is plugged into the lamp. But neither the lamp nor the electricity have intelligence. But when you put them together, then they perform in a certain way. A computer is just a dead box of electrical equipment and devices. But when you put that same electricity into the computer, it can all of a sudden think and calculate different things. It can even speak. A television, you take that same electricity and plug it into a television, and it can sing and dance and make music and whatever else. But the moment you unplug it, it's a dead old box, right? Similarly, the human body is that way. The human body is made out of clay. It's a container. It's a box. When the breath of God enters that box, it becomes a living, moving, viable being. So you're looking at me right now, you're looking at a soul. But when I'm unplugged and God's spirit goes back to him, his breath goes back to him, I become a dead old empty box. Now, neither my body nor the breath have intelligence. They can't communicate with you. But when God comes back again, when Jesus comes back again and resuscitates us, he puts the breath back in the box and we come forth as we once were. So what is a soul? A definition of a soul is the body plus the breath equals a soul. The word for soul is psuche. And the word for breath is pneuma, like pneumatic tires with air in it, you know. And so sometimes people get those two mixed up. But your body without the pneuma, the breath, which goes back to God, and then he restores it, that makes you a living soul, a living human being. Okay? Okay.